Studying this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. So turn with me to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Isn't that, in essence, what the Holy Spirit of God has been saying to us? That we are children of God, we're children of light. And we're to be walking as the light? If he's our pilot, he's not leading us into wickedness and into what we were as children of disobedience. Verse 6 of the fifth chapter. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, which is those sins of the flesh, the desires and passions which were previously mentioned. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You're not that anymore. What? Why do we walk in that path? In case your memory is as mine is sometimes, it's talking about fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness. It's been said that covetousness is the mother sin of all those Ten Commandments. Covetousness. We don't love God as we ought to love God because of covetousness. We don't love our fellow man as we ought to because of covetousness, which breeds in us fornication, adultery, all those sins, whoremongers, vile talk, vile thoughts. You know, I can stand up here week after week and preach on these things and tell you these things. But I can't make you do them. I can't make you follow them. I can't make you control your thoughts upon what you think upon. Sometimes I have trouble, well, a lot of times I have trouble with my own thoughts. Why am I going to try and govern your thoughts? All I can do is preach to you what the Word of God has to say, and you have to desire from the inner man to want to be obedient to it and to do it. For ye were sometimes darkness. Before time, before salvation, ye were darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I need to remind you that walk is not just in our actions. In our actions, in our word, in our thoughts. What do you think upon? I beseech myself, I beseech you. If you have a problem with your thoughts, run to the Word of God. Run to thinking upon God. Thinking upon His things. Those things which please Him. You know what that'll do? That'll dispel those evil thoughts. What is it that James 4:9 says? Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. Run to Him. And those things that roost in your mind and you want to think upon that aren't evil and aren't as they should be, run to God. Submit to Him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's good admonition for every one of us. Every one of us. Every one of us are plagued with besetting sins. What may be common to me may not be common to you. What may be common to you may not be common to me. You see, we were before salvation, children of disobedience, and walked in darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. There is to be the goal and the tenor of our life. We are to be proving that which is acceptable. We're to be proving to one another. We're to be proving to a lost and dark world the things that are acceptable unto the Lord, unto God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And we might say there's not much that's done in secret anymore in our day and time. But we get the gist of it. They ought to be done in secret. They ought not to be done openly. And we ought not to even speak in the affirmative about them. We ought to only speak to reprove, to exhort them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's what our life is to be, light. Light. They will reprove their evil deeds. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. You're said to be walking among the dead when you're walking in those dark deeds and dark ways. And Christ shall give thee light. Christ has given you light. Is your light shining? Is my light shining? I'm not talking about as the hypocrites. Those Pharisees, they had no light. Their outward deeds and works looked pretty good to the bulk of Israel. But Jesus, who looks on the heart, knew they were just whited sepulchres. Verse 15, our verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Did you get that? Not as fools, but as wise. Being that we are children of God, and therefore children of light, and are to walk in our deeds and in our words, governs the whole tenor, even the thoughts that we think upon. Seeing that we are to walk as children of light, and awaking out of sleep, being said to, if we're walking in the desires and passions of the flesh, if we're walking after the darkness of this world, we're said to be sleeping, we that are saved, and that's who he's speaking to. He's speaking to saved members of a local church, the local church of Ephesus, and speaking to us today, saved members of local church of Melbourne, the Grace Baptist Church. We're not to be asleep, so to say. We're not to be walking among the dead. So he says, arise from among the dead. Rise out of those works of darkness. Because Christ the light is shining on us, we are to see then. Remember, see then last week? What did he mean by that, see then? Well, I think he meant, examine yourselves. We're to see, we're to look to our world, we're to look to our manner of life. And that covers it all, as we said. We're to look to our thoughts, we're to look the way we walk, we're to look at our speech. All of our behavior, we're to look to, we're to examine it. Is it becoming a child of the gospel? Is it becoming the gospel of Jesus Christ? Philippians put it like this. We've been saved. We are the children of God. We are children of light. God has worked it in us to will and to do His good pleasure, and we're to work it out. That which is in us is to be worked out in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. It's our responsibility to do that. I'm responsible to do it. You're responsible to do it. So then today, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. I don't know the last time, other than in a message, that I heard somebody use the word circumspect or circumspect. That's not in our vocabulary today. So what does that mean? To walk circumspectly. Well, I've said in times past, to walk uprightly. To walk in righteousness, which is there. It is there. The word literally and actually means exactly, accurately. We could say perfect. In fact, this word is only used 5 times in the New Testament in the Greek. 5 times. 2 times it's translated diligently. One time perfect, or and one time perfectly. So we could say twice perfect and once circumspect. The connotation is that our walk is to be perfect. Perfect in as a child of light. Perfect as a child of God. Remember verse 1? Be ye therefore followers of God, imitators of God as dear children. If we're imitating God, we're doing what? We're walking circumspectly. We're walking perfectly. Just to give you two illustrations of where, two other places where the word is used. Turn with me the book of Luke, the book of Luke in chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In verse 1, Luke says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." So he's talking about those things that have been set forth to be believed among us. Those things that they ought to believe. "Even as they delivered them unto us," even as they were delivered to us. Luke was not an apostle, so they were delivered to him by Jesus Christ or by the apostles, "which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." So he's definitely talking about the apostles, those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 3. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding." The word perfect, circumspect. To have had circumspect understanding. Diligent understanding. Perfect understanding. Exact. He says, I had the truth. I had it exactly as it was delivered by the Lord to his apostles. And to me, he said, I've got it. "Of all things from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." So what Luke is saying, what I'm about to write is perfect understanding of that which was delivered at the first by Jesus Christ to his apostles and then to me. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. And I read these to you so that you get a better understanding of that walk circumspectly. One of, as it ought to be. A walk as it ought to be. A child of God. A child of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look what he says in verse 1. "But of the times and the seasons," the time, length of time, "and the duration of that time," is what he said. He's talking about the end times and the second coming of Christ. "Brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." There's no need for me to write unto you about it. "Because why? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the..." You know about it. You know it perfectly. You don't need that anyone should write unto you or expound any further onto you, because you have a perfect understanding of it, he said. That's our word. That's our word in the Greek. It goes to exactness. It goes to perfection. A perfect walk in Christ Jesus, a perfect walk in light, a perfect walk as a child of God. Now that word that is used here in our text, it comes from a parent word, the parent word, which means exact carefully. So it doesn't change. It still means perfectly. That word is used one time in the book of Acts, chapter 26. And the Apostle Paul used it in his testimony concerning himself. Acts chapter 26. In verse 2, he says, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth. Now notice this, from his youth, from the time he was a little child, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, which from the very first was from mine own Israelites at Jerusalem. The seat of religion, the seat of the law, the place where the house of the Lord was, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews that knew me from the first, know that about me, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest, there's our word, the most straitest sect, the most exact sect, the most perfect sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. In other words, that was the tenor and course of the Pharisee. They knew the law of God, and they prided themselves in obedience to the law of God externally. That's what they did. I mean, they were strict on the letter of the law. Of course, we know Jesus called them whited sepulchers. They made the outside look all pretty and beautiful, but there was no change taking place inwardly. It was absent God. In other words, they were doing it all for themselves. But Paul says it was the straight sect, it was the perfect sect, the ones that paid attention to the detail and letter of the law and walked in it perfectly according to it. So that's our word. What do I think of that? What do you think of it? That's to be our manner of walk. We're being admonished by the Holy Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul here in this Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that our walk be circumspectly. Be exact, be perfect. As a children of light, as a child of light, as a child of God. It is to be one of perfection. The way in which we walk and how we walk is to be circumspectly. Our eyes are to be open about us and seeing to it that we're obeying the Word of God from the heart. What's that mean? Well, if we really are the children of God, children of light, we've been given a new heart. And we have a heart that desires to do the Word of God. And so we're to walk from that heart in obedience to it, to the Word of God, doing perfectly the will and purpose of the Lord, walking exactly, careful to maintain exactness and accuracy with all diligence. That is, with a steady application of that which we see in the Word of God, the messages that we have preached from the 4th chapter, from the 5th chapter. Each one of us are responsible to see to it that we walk
Exactly.
Accurately. According as we're being admonished from the Word of God to walk. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. We're going to read several verses here. I think this is a good application to our walk. He said in verse 1, "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Let that sink in. "For if in this we groan, we sigh, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Do you? Do we? Well, it seems like it's a process of time, and as we get older, we desire it more and more. And we sigh for that day more and more. "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Talking about the spiritual clothing. "For we that are in this tabernacle," this fleshly tabernacle, "do groan," do sigh, "beaten burdened." You tired of this fleshly tabernacle? You tired of its lusting for sin? Lusting to walk in sin? Do you sigh because of it? "Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." That this temporal body might be swallowed up in eternal life, which we know it to be glorious. We don't know how glorious, we just know it's going to be glorious. It'll be more glorious than anything we can imagine. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. He that has worked in us and has brought us to that is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The money down, the money securing that immortality, that passing away of the mortal and the immortal, taking over, which we're desiring to be clothed upon, is the Spirit. He's ever with us, in us, leading us, guiding us, directing us, piloting us. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Yeah, that's the problem, huh? We're at home in this body. And some of us are more at home than others. In other words, we're more comfortable in this body than others. Notice verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Our walk is by faith, not by sight. When we're walking, as the children of disobedience walk in the works of darkness, can we be said to be walking in faith, living by faith? You understand what faith is, right? Faith is that gift of God that was given to us at the time of our salvation. So faith is opposed to that which is unholy, to that which is unrighteous. It is opposed to the works of darkness. He said in verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of the Lord. We may be approved of the Lord, that we may be pleasing of the Lord. We labor. Metaphor that we would use today, I didn't promise you a rose garden. And that generated years ago with a man marrying a woman or a woman marrying a man, and one said to the other, well, I didn't promise you a rose garden. And she'd say, well, I didn't get one either. And he would say, well, I didn't get one either. You know? Well, the Lord didn't tell us it'd be easy. He said it was going to be a labor, but we would willingly labor for the Lord. Why? Why do we labor? To be pleasing to the Lord. Because that's the desire of faith. That's the desire of faith. Faith wants to please God. It's the gift from God that we might please Him. Turn with me back to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 11. And I know you know this verse. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, so when we were given faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. So when we were given faith by God, what do we want to do? What's faith want to do? Please God. Do that which is pleasing to God. Now let's take those thoughts and compare them with what we have in the book of Romans in chapter 6. And I don't know, I didn't keep track how many times we've been to Romans, the 6th chapter, and the study of the 4th chapter, and the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, but we've been there numerous times. So guess what I'm saying to you? This is not new, is it? But look at verse 4 of the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. We profess salvation. We profess to have died to sin. And to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. We now identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're gonna walk in Christ with Christ. It's what the waters of baptism picture. But it pictures something else. It's not only what we've said, but what we're picturing when we come up out of the water. That we should walk in newness. Our walk again is newness of life. Not as we did before we were saved, but it's to be different than we were before. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You say you're in Christ Jesus, but you're walking after the flesh.
Can we say you're a liar? Based on that passage of Scripture, right?
Because it says those that are in Christ Jesus walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So are we following the Spirit? Are we walking in the Spirit, after the Spirit? Look what he tells us in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16. Actually, I think we'll read several verses here. Now to Abraham and his seed. I'm in the third chapter. Let me get the fifth chapter. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit, it just makes common sense. You can't walk after the flesh, satisfying the desires of the flesh, if you're walking after the Spirit. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Notice what's first. Submission to God. You can't resist the devil of yourself. It's going to take the power of God. Not even the Michael the archangel, was able to resist the devil. Only by the power of God. Could he do it?
You and I can't resist the devil of ourselves, but only as we submit to God. Submit to God, follow the leading and walk in the Spirit.
And you're not satisfy the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And many of those things, as we know already, he took it over from not just an external action, but he took it over into a thought of the mind.
Where's our mind thinking? What are we thinking upon? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Let me tell you, it's not easy.
We are tempted to give in to this flesh on a daily basis. But we covenant with God and ourselves to crucify the desires of the flesh and to walk after the Spirit, and not to walk after
the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the question today to me, to myself, and to you: do we live in the Spirit? Is the Spirit of God within us? If it is, we're to walk after
the Spirit.
Well, what about our walk?
Well,
he said this to the 12 in the book of Matthew chapter 10. And we referenced it this morning. In verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore," because you're as sheep, sent forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, "wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Both of those are difficult, aren't they? Well, to be wise as serpents calls for the wisdom of God. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally to all men, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." And it's a difficult thing to be harmless as a dove. Being an old farm boy, I've observed doves all my life. They're a pretty docile bird. Pretty docile. I mean, I haven't seen a dove be harmful to anything, any creature. In fact, sometimes I consider them a nuisance when they spread waste all over everything. But we're called upon to be harmless as doves. Well, think about that. Well, that doesn't sit well with the flesh, does it? The flesh wants its way, and the flesh gets angry when it doesn't get its way. Even in this life as a Christian. And that's what the end of the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians has been dealing with, our anger. In fact, your pastor preached two excellent messages on that, July the 4th and July the 11th. I got to listen to both of them. Isn't that something? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Look what he told us in the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, in verse 27. We're told here, "Only let your conversation, your manner of life as a citizen, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Our manner of life is to be as a citizen of the gospel, as is suitable for the gospel. Doesn't the gospel of Jesus Christ reprove the disobedience against God and the works of darkness, the works of the flesh, those works that we're dealing with in the fifth chapter? Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, which just gets them all right in there. "As cometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Well, that's what our walk is to be like as citizens. One mind, one spirit as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be in oneness. We're to be as one. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 23. You say, "You're going back to the Old Testament?" Yeah. We find these things in the Old Testament as well. What he told the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 23. Look at verse 13.
And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard of thy mouth.
What are we doing when we give in to the works of the flesh? Which is covetousness. Which, what is covetousness? Idolatry. Idolatry.
Oh.
So you and I, we give in to the works of the flesh, whether it be in thought, word, or deed, we're being idol worshipers. What God are we worshiping? Self.
See to it. Look to it. Make sure that you walk strictly according to God's word. Not deviating from, but according to God's word. Which we as Baptists tote the saying that the Word of God, God's Word, is our rule of faith. That is, the Word of God determines what we believe. It's our rule of faith and practice. Not only what we believe, but what we're to do and how we're to do it. We follow this book. We say, that's what we say in most of our doctrinal statements. But do we do it? As members of the Lord's Church, what are our churches? You, me. We're the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. Are we using this book as to what to believe, what to do, and how to do it? Turn with me. An example that we have in the Word of God, the Book of Acts, chapter 2. Book of Acts, chapter 2. In verse 42, you see the early church? And listen, that grew from about 120 to over 3,000 all in one day, didn't it? On the day of Pentecost. And look what happened in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. The apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine?
It was the Word of God, wasn't it? Well, that says apostles' doctrine. Where did the apostles get their doctrine? They got it from the mouth of the Son of God. They got it from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And they continued steadfastly
in that teaching.